Welcome to the ETS podcast, where we are facing the challenge and shaping the future.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the ETS podcast. We're so glad you're joining us today. I'm Joel Barron.
Hi, I'm Melanie Endicott.
And we're so excited just to come to you today and to have a conversation again about worship. Yeah. Today we are specifically going to be talking about the subject, how to get rid of the spirit of perfectionism in worship. Now, I don't know if that applies to me. My wife calls me pretty perfect. Does that mean to get rid of me, Melanie, or what does that exactly mean?
My Courtney tells me that too, of course, yes.
But it is a serious topic that we think really needs addressing, talking about this perfectionism. But to start off, let's define what that is, and let's look at what is the difference between perfectionism, having a spirit of perfectionism, and then having a spirit of excellence. Melanie, what would you say is that?
I would say, you know, perfectionism to me is whenever you think about you cannot have any mistakes. Everything has to be perfect. Everything's kind of about you in perfectionism, because if you make a mistake, if you sing the wrong thing, if you say the wrong thing, pray the wrong thing where you feel stupid afterwards, then that's kind of the spirit of perfectionism that you have in worship. And the devil kind of wants us to have that. He wants it to be about ourselves. And he wants us to feel like, oh, it's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be perfect. And you find your self-confidence and identity in the things that you do. And I feel like that's the danger of having that spirit of perfectionism. But the spirit of excellence is quite different. That is not a negative thing. It's a positive thing that says, hey, I want to offer my very best. The spirit of excellence means I'm going to give my very, very best for the Lord. It's not about me. I want it to be excellent because I want the Lord to be able to use it. And it's not about me being perfect. It's about me being prepared. That's what I feel like.
So you would say being excellent means to be prepared and not to do it correctly.
Yeah. And you know, and the Lord gives us all different gifts and giftings and anointedness. And as long as we are, whatever that gift is, trying to do that with a spirit of excellence, to where it's like you're not just showing up and, okay, whatever, being very, you know, nonchalant or not prepared. You know, some people I do know can just perfectly do that without any, preparation. But the idea that we can take the gifts that the Lord gives us and say, all right, God, I'm giving this to you. I want it to be excellent in your name. I will prepare. I will be ready. So the spirit of excellence is trying to just give your very best on whatever it is the Lord has you doing at that moment. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. It just means that you care. It means that you just want to be excellent for the Lord and to use the giftings he gives you for his glory and in your best possible way.
But what about groups, for example, where they work a section and they work it and work it and work it, and in their mind, like they're doing it with a spirit of excellence. Where do you draw the line? Like, where does it cross over and become about perfectionism and not about excellence anymore? We've talked about being prepared, and you've talked about it being about you. And if their mind is really about making it as perfect as possible, and I use the word perfect, but maybe in their mind it's not perfectionism. It's simply giving their best, and their best is over 100%. Where do you begin to define where it crosses over?
Well, perfectionism, you know, for me, it's it has a negative connotation, because that means if you did make a mistake, that you think, oh, I'm so frustrated. And then there's that anger and those things that go along with the perfectionism idea. And that's not what God has for us. That's not what we should be feeling or doing. And if it's a spirit of excellence where you come before God in worship and you say, oh, I'm going to give you my best. I care. I really want this to glorify you, Lord. I want it to glorify the church and your Holy Spirit to be able to use it in that moment. If you have the right heart, then if you make a little mistake or something happens bad, then it's not the spirit of perfectionism is where you leave the stage and you say, oh, I'm so mad that didn't work out right. But the spirit of excellence is, you know what, Lord, I gave you my best and it worked. And even if it wasn't perfect, it's all I had. And then you leave that time without that negative, angry kind of thing. And that's where I think the difference is. There's a real difference in between those mm-hmm. two.
I wonder how we look at, you know, Jesus, there's this reference with him of being angry and sinning not. Mm-hmm. So is there a limit of where I can be angry with how the worship went and not be a perfectionism person or a perfectionist?
Well, you know, everybody has their personalities.
I get, you're not flipping tables over, I guess, in the foyer, but.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I'm hard on myself too sometimes. If I'm pitchy or you know, I feel like oh man, I didn't try hard enough, and yeah, that's just a natural reaction. But we have to not get mad about it. We have to not feel like it's all about us, and that mm-hmm. spirit of perfectionism has to, yeah, it's not about us. It's just not. And when you can start using that time of worship and realizing it's not about you, God will change it and change your heart as well, to where if something happens, it's not a big deal because it's not about you, you know?
Yeah, I have struggled with this. And I think everyone does struggle with it, especially in the beginning times. I remember when I came here, it's been about 3 years ago, we had an incident where I had 3 band members that were all taking out, like it was sporadically. So I had to replace them, and we had an event, and it was 3 people that didn't normally play with us. One was a drummer, and he was from Argentina. There was a piano player that jumped in, and they were from the Middle East, like an Arabic style family. And then I had even someone who jumped on e-guitar that was from Spain that normally didn't play with us in that capacity. And so we're going in and we're doing the song, I think it was Here As in Heaven. And it's, you know, you have this instrumental that's happening, and then you go into the atmosphere is changing now. And so mm-hmm. Ooh, I worked nice. With them. We practiced. Everything was perfect in the rehearsal. Then we get to that part and we begin, and the piano player begins playing Arabic rhythms with his stuff. And the drummer goes into an Argentinian beat. And then I strum my guitar and it's out of tune. And I just go, the atmosphere is changing now. And I just remember the
and
whole
thing. It did change. It did.
And it was our last song. And I remember feeling so defeated. And I'm like, we worked so hard. And I'm sitting there praying, God, if you can use a donkey, God, if you can use a donkey, you can speak through this. And what was amazing is I came down just so defeated. But then someone came up to me from the church and said, wow, Joel, that was the best worship we have ever had. And I'm sitting there thinking, your worship's either really terrible or God just did the miraculous thing here in this moment. But I think it's okay to, you know, when we've worked hard, to be angry and sin not, but not to make it about us where it's like, oh, it had to be this way or God can't use it. And to understand
I mean, there's a difference between being frustrated about something that didn't work out right and absolutely tearing yourself to shreds when you get off the stage.
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
And I mean, honestly, there was a time in my life where the devil would really attack me. Not anything about my singing or the music or whatever I sang and did, but the devil would attack me mentally and say, "Oh, what you prayed, it was so stupid. It didn't make sense. You sound like an idiot, or you said too much, or you were too vulnerable. Everybody now knows your, you know, everything that you were thinking, and, you know, reads you like a book." And the devil would really, really attack me sometimes when I'd be, you know how it is when you're worshiping and it's like the whole room fades away and
sure.
It's just you and the Lord and all the performance is gone and you feel the spirit of God in the room and it wells up within you these songs of praise or a prayer. And sometimes I'm very direct when I speak. And so sometimes I would just say, you know, say things to where I always ask my husband, you know, when I would get home, did that sound wrong? Did that, you know, but it was like, and he was always like, no, Mel, it was just always me. It was the devil trying to attack me
sure.
mentally and make me feel stupid, you know? And, so I've also had my issues too. And that is kind of in that thing of a perfectionism thing. Like, well, I don't want people to think I'm too emotional or not smart enough, or I don't pray good enough, or I don't do this good enough. And then when it starts to become that and the devil can use that mentally against you, then it's about you and it's about perfectionism. And that's what we don't want. And the devil will use anything he can use to attack you, because he's like a roaring lion trying to get at everybody,
right?
And so whatever he can use, if he can't make you feel like you're not a good singer, then he'll make you feel stupid or too emotional or too this or too that. And you just have to stop that. And I did. I started praying with some of my girlfriends at church. I was talking with them about it. They're also on the worship team. We just started praying about it. And they helped me. They're like, Mel, that's just the lie of the devil. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. And then I stopped believing in that mess. And anytime after I'd lead worship, if I was open about something, I would just, if the devil was going to want to whisper in my ear and say, oh, you're stupid. You shouldn't have said that. I said, nope, uh-uh. It wasn't stupid. It was the right thing.
Come on.
And you, devil, you have no authority in my thoughts anymore. I'm done with it. And ever since then, I was good to go. Yes. And I never ever was tormented about it again.
Oh, wow.
So praise the Lord. But yes, yeah, everybody's got their things, you know. You just got to lay it down
and take that authority
and trust the Lord. Yeah, and take the authority and know that the devil's trying to hurt you and mess you up, and you can't allow that.
I really wonder when Matt Redman was writing the song Heart of Worship, if this is what he was really talking about. Like, was it so much about perfectionism that we lost what is the heart of God, and how do we get back to that?
It's all about you. Coming back to the heart of worship, because it's all about you. And that's the thing that we, you know, sometimes we just forget that. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in, you know, how fun it is, or, you know, or our talents and our giftings, or we want the music to sound good, or we love this new song and we want it to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're human, you know, and we're sinners, and the focus shifts sometimes. And as long as we can keep our eyes on the Lord,
right,
our eyes on the prize, then we're going to be good.
Yes. It's not about sounding exactly like the MP3 that we heard from Bethel or Hillsong, but it's about us doing everything out of excellence and giving our best as a team.
Yeah. Because, so, I mean, I think like we said before on our last podcast, or with me anyway, we were talking about that we don't want to be a hindrance. So we want the spirit of excellence, because we want it to sound good. Because if it's a car crash on stage, we're all humans, we're all people, we're all in the audience, and people, you know, they're not mature enough to just worship past those moments. It derails stuff if there's a big catastrophe.
Right. Although so, when you know have those kind of moments, people all stop on the side of the road and look at it. So we would really get looked at, but then God would not be looked at, right?
Yeah. But that, you know, so we want to be excellent because we don't want to be a distraction from what the Holy Spirit's going to do in the room. You know, so we want to be good. We want it to sound good. And we want everybody that's there, that's part of the team, they're using a gifting that the Lord has given them. So they're going to be good, because God doesn't make no junk.
Come on.
God don't make no junk. That's my dad always said that when we grew up.
And he ain't for the junk in the trunk
either.
Right. Well, we've really talked about what is perfectionism and then what is the spirit of excellence. So Melanie, how do we get rid of this spirit of perfectionism in our worship ministry?
Yeah. You know what? I was thinking of the scripture, Galatians 6:14. It says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And I think that thinking about boasting, you know, it's like we don't want to boast in ourselves. We don't want to feel like, oh, I'm amazing. I'm this, I'm that. We can't boast in ourselves. We need to boast in the Lord. And I do have a few points that I jotted down that I think really, really helps. How to stop worrying about performance and have pure worship with the spirit of excellence, not a spirit of perfection. My first point is, you know, remember, it's not about you. It's not about you. Go up there, have your one purpose be to glorify the Lord together. With your team, with the church. If your purpose is not self-centered and your only purpose is for you to, you know, bring your church family together in worship, and that you invite the Spirit of God to come, you know, it's not about playing everything perfect. It's not about how fun it is. It's not about how handsome or beautiful you are. It's not about the skinny jeans. It's not about the makeup. It's not about all that mess. It's not about the lights or the Ableton crazy awesome systems and technical technic type things. It's not about that. Those are fun, and yes, we all like that. We're human. We love that cool stuff, but it's not about that. And when it's truly about, you know, you stepping into the Lord's presence and also bringing the church into the Lord's presence, then you're going to succeed. Mm. So first point is, it ain't about you.
That's good. And when those things happen, can we continue on? When the power goes out, for example, and it's just you, can you continue on and still have an atmosphere of worship?
Yeah.
It's about him. That's a good point.
Yeah. I've actually had that before where we were in youth camp so many years ago, and all the power went out. We were standing there in the dark, right in the middle of worship. And luckily there was an acoustic guitar player, and we just sang in the dark. And I thought, Lord, help me. What's the song I know all the words to, and they know the chords too. And we just sang in the pitch dark, and the Holy Spirit just came, and it was just the most beautiful thing. So yeah, when it's not about you, if we all went off in a huff because the power was out, then the Lord couldn't have used it. But right. The Lord used that moment because we were like, no, let's keep going. Let's keep going. It's okay. And the Lord will use that always for good. I have a second point.
Okay.
Consecration. It's so important that we as leaders and the team, we need to be consecrated together under Christ. And you know what consecration means? That means to be made holy, and that you're dedicating yourself to a higher purpose. Mm-hmm. And I want to read Romans 12:1. It's actually the Amplified version. It says, and it's talking about dedicated service to the Lord, being consecrated. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. So when we consecrate ourselves, and also when the team, when you have a team of believers and everybody's there for the right reasons and to glorify God, and you're consecrated, then he's going to show up. When the point is the whole team is there to worship the Lord, and it's not about how awesome we are. It's about being consecrated. We're dedicated to him, and everything that we do is dedicated to him.
Wow.
You want me to keep going?
Keep going.
I will rattle off.
Come on, that is good stuff. Good stuff.
Okay, my third point is, leave space in the worship set for the Holy Spirit to move.
Yes. Oh my goodness, that's so good. That's so important.
Times of silence, they're okay. I used to remember a time where I felt like I had to rattle off every time there was a quiet moment. Oh, am I, as a worship leader, I got to say something. I've got to say some filler. Nonsense. You don't. Because when the Spirit of God is there, you can just breathe. And it's not about you. And it's not about the things you have to say all the time. So leaving times of silence in worship are okay. Times of where the worship team just play. Mm-hmm. And we're just waiting. And we're just being patient in what the Holy Spirit's doing in the room. And that's okay. It's not like we have to always rush from song to song and perfection, and be stressy and all the, connectedness of this song goes to this song and all that. Sometimes that's nice to have, but sometimes the Lord will use the silence in the room and the waiting in the room more than any amazing chord progression you'll do between song to song.
That's true. And I've heard lately on a song I was listening to where they had this instrumental part, but right as it began, the worship leader says, "Let the music prophesy." And he just has this intense worship moment. And I think, like you said, both of them are so important. It's important that you have these moments where we can really dive into the worship and we can let God speak in those moments. But it's just as important, if not more important, sometimes for those silent moments. And as a worship leader myself, I always tried to do that. And sometimes I did it in every song and it became redundant and too much, but I felt it's so important for the musicians to also have an opportunity to be still and simply to know that he's God, to have a chance where they're not focused on those chords and trying to see what's coming next, but they can stop and just come back themselves and have that moment where they can focus and just tune in directly and let God even minister to them. And that's not to say that he can't in the other times, but when you just can put it all away and you can be still, that's when we can really hear from God.
Yeah. It also just takes all the pressure out of the room too for the team and for you as a leader. It's like, all right, Lord, do it. Just do it. And I just, mm-hmm. I love that. I love so much that we don't have to do everything. The Holy Spirit will lead it and do yes. it. And that's such a comfort. If I had to do all this myself, I wouldn't be sitting here right now talking to you. I would be done. But because God does it and we're giving it to Him, and then He just uses just beautiful moments in worship, and it makes it not about us, and it's so awesome. My last point. I know this is going long, but
you know, I won't rattle
on. I can't help it. My last point that's just so important to me, that really has changed me as a worship leader and also our team, is the power of having prayer as a worship team right before church. It's so important. It's so important because it sets everything right. You know, sometimes things do get stressy. We've got a short amount of time for sound check. We've got somebody not sure of what this is here, what chord is, or you know, and there's all this human stress that we feel the pressure because we want it to be good. We want it to be excellent. So we feel this pressure there. Mm-hmm. So sometimes during sound check, things don't go the way we want, or maybe we feel like the team just is a little bit annoyed, or somebody's annoyed, or there's a mood or whatever. And it's like, every time we stop as a team right before the church service is going to start and we pray, it just sets everything right. And it's like, it brings everything back to where it's supposed to be. And the Spirit of God always just shows up. And then when yes. you step back on the stage, you're already in the right heart because you've already given Him everything. Even the crazy, messy sound check that didn't work the way you wanted it to work, that's okay. Because Lord, right now, all that is done. And now we're here to serve You, to serve Your church. And that prayer is so important because it just sets you right. And it sets your heart right so that when you get back out there, you're like, all right, the Lord's like, go, run. And you can, because you did everything right to put it back in His hands. Everything in the sound check was in your hands to make everything all technically right, whatever. But then whenever you go back up there, you're like, all right, Lord, this is all for You. And as long as you can do that, you're invincible, because anything that happens, then it's okay, because it's not you. It's the Lord. You've already given it up. Right. You've already given it out of Your hands.
And when you do that
He can
together
use it. Yeah.
As a team, it somehow unifies yes. you on a different level as well. So it's not just you by yourself saying, yes. okay, I give it to God, but the team just did it together.
Yeah.
And now we can lead together.
Yeah.
So, wow, it's really good stuff. So, well, we hope you're encouraged today through this podcast. Yeah. And if maybe you're sometimes just so upset when it doesn't go perfect, that this encourages you and just inspires you to not look at everything having to be so perfect, but to yeah. look at where the heart is and to come back to the heart of worship.
Yeah.
And let's do things with a spirit of excellence where we're coming in and we're prepared, but not that it has to be perfect, that we simply gave our best.
Yeah.
So
very good. I have one last little thing to say. You know, just know that wherever you are and whatever team you're serving on, wherever you're leading worship, it's just an absolute blessing. And be thankful for the Lord putting you there. And even if you are blessed to go to some crazy church that has all the expensive lights and all the expensive technical things, you know, and maybe you feel like, oh, I wish we could have that. I wish we could do this. You know what? There are people around the world leading worship in an old tiny basement with no heat mm-hmm. and no running water, with just an acoustic guitar and no sound and no microphones, and they are blessing the Lord and they are loving it. And so, yeah, check yourself. People should, you know, we should really check ourselves and be thankful for the situation we're in and not be wanting more and more and more. There are so many people around the world that don't have what we have. And yeah, just let the Lord convict your heart and let you be happy to be where you are and to give your very best and excellent to the Lord wherever it is.
Mm-hmm. Just be like a tree. And I've heard the saying once, like, it, you know, when the tree is planted, just remain there until yeah, God gets yeah, ready to pull yeah, your roots yeah. up and to move you somewhere else
yeah.
if and when that time comes.
Yeah, yeah.
And to give your absolute best, serving with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind while you're in that
yeah,
moment.
Yeah.
So.
Amen.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us today and just hearing our hearts and Melanie's sermon. No, it was some really good stuff.
I know.
No, thank you, Melanie, for sharing today from your heart about this, because this is a subject I feel like you're really passionate about and it really shows. And so thank you just for being open with us about this.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Would you mind praying over us as we end this podcast?
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to be here. We thank you right now for everybody that's listening. We just pray a blessing over their ministry, over our ministry, that you can take it and have your perfect way, that you can give us wisdom and strength to be able to move and breathe and use our worship in according to your perfect will. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you are and everything that you give us. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the ETS podcast. For more information, visit our website at www.ets-kanibus.de.